Chapter 5. Paradise was a town founded by merchants and fishermen. The town fathers would have also had you believe that whaling was a part of the town's past. Jesse never quite bought the whaling stuff, but it made for a good narrative for the tourists. Mostly it helped local shopkeepers hawk their replica harpoons, oil lamps, and oars. Swan Harbor, the Tony town just north of Paradise, was a place that wore its pilgrim roots like a neon sign, though, of course, neon signs were strictly forbidden within town limits. Swan Memorial was a picture postcard old school building of red brick and ivy, with a majestic white bell tower rising up from the center of its sloped gray roof. Jesse followed the curve of Commonwealth Way, past the front of the school's granite steps and stone columns, and around to the athletic fields and parking lot beyond. The bucolic New England scene was shattered by the sight of ambulances, police cruisers, and trooper SUVs arranged at odd angles on the knoll outside the lot. All their blue, red, white, and yellow light bars whirled, strobed, and flashed in moot silence. Not even the gorgeous backdrop of turning trees and the ocean beyond could camouflage the tear in the fabric of serenity. Jesse pulled up onto the knoll alongside Brian Lundquist's unmarked Ford. It was officially Captain Lundquist, now that he'd gotten the bump and taken over for Healy as the state's chief homicide investigator.
"Jesse," Lundquist said, offering his hand.
"Brian." Jesse took his hand and shook it. "Congratulations on it being official." Lundquist, a big man who looked more like a Minnesota farm boy than a cop, nodded his thanks.
"It's not pretty, Jesse. Her face is a mess, and there are nasty bruises around her throat. There's some signs of sexual assault. She's unconscious, and the EMTs say it doesn't look good. The assault had to take place somewhere else, though, and she was dumped here. Name's Felicity Wildford, 32. She's up here from Boston for the weekend with a boyfriend to see the foliage."
"Boyfriend a suspect?"
Lundquist shrugged. "Can't say."
"Any security footage?"
"The security company says no, but I've got someone over at the headquarters reviewing whatever footage they've got. Come on, let's go take a look."
As they turned to enter the lot, stepping under the crime scene tape, Jesse asked,
"Why am I here, Brian? Not my town, not my jurisdiction. What are you doing here anyway? This isn't a homicide."
"Not yet," Lundquist said, "but it looks like it will be. Besides, they don't have any detectives on their PD, and I was in the area. I heard it was the chief who asked me to come have a look. It was my idea, but it's not officially my case. I had to cajole the rusty nuts chief here to invite you over. I'll tell you what, Jesse. The cops in this town are acting like they've never seen this kind of thing before."
"They probably haven't. No shame in that. I wish none of my cops had ever seen one. Occupational hazard, I guess. Me making assumptions like that. I've already seen too many damaged bodies."
"Me too. But that's no answer to my question, Brian. Why am I here?"
"Come on, let's hurry up before they move her. You'll see."
That was more of an answer.
Jesse understood that there must be something about the appearance of the victim or the crime scene that would spark his memory. Either that, or there was something about the victim and the nature of the assault that only an ex-LAPD robbery-homicide detective would comprehend. But the moment he saw the way Felicity Wildford's brutalized body had been positioned, Jesse knew it was the former. She was a dark-skinned African-American woman with long, beautifully braided hair. Her face was so battered that her eyes were swollen shut. A plastic oxygen mask covered her smashed nose and bloodied mouth. As they rolled the gurney toward the waiting ambulance, Lundquist demanded the EMTs stop and lower the sheet that covered her body from neck to toe. They weren't happy about it, but they did as they were told. The swelling and bruising around her throat was obvious. Someone had written the word "slut" across her belly in lurid red lipstick. As the EMTs hurried her into the ambulance, Jesse turned to Lundquist and said, "The first murder scene I ever dealt with in Paradise was very similar to this, but you couldn't have known about that. You were still chasing speeders down on the Mass Pike back then. Who spotted the similarity? Lundquist pointed to a uniformed Swan Harbor cop standing with a group of troopers and cops about 20 yards to the other side of the body. Name's Drake Daniels. Been on the job here for 20-plus years. He told his chief. The chief told me. You know how it works.
Uh-huh. He knew how it worked, but he didn't like it.
Brian, I'm going to take a walk over to my Explorer. Send Officer Daniels over without drawing attention. I need to have a talk with that man. Jesse didn't wait for Lundquist's response. He just turned and walked toward his SUV.